I feel like I can just kind of share what God's been saying to me, what's in my heart, and let's just go to 2 Chronicles 7, 13, and 14. I'll read it to you. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Brother Charles read this and pointed out the implication here is that until we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, he may not even be listening. He also suggests that that's pretty embarrassing. We've been praying, he's not even listening. I think that there is supposed to be a certain posture when you come before the Father. When I deal with my kids, there's going to be a certain attitude that's expected if I'm going to listen to them. I have been, the last probably 9 months, God's been working on me. And I think humility is the portal through which pass all the purposes of God. And that's really easy for me because I'm so humble. I'm glad I got a half a snicker out of y'all. I'm glad that he gives us the opportunity to humble ourselves. I know that in my case, I can look back. I'll be 42 next month. And I can tell you, I've learned the difference in humbling yourself and having to be humbled by God. And might I suggest in my 42 long years that it's better to humble yourself? I visited with a friend last week who was having a very difficult time with somebody very close. He was in the pit. I mean, this guy was having a tough time. And I actually went over to his house after church. I just felt like God wanted me to go encourage this guy. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I'm kind of like, sometimes you feel like God's calling you somewhere. You're kind of getting keyed up I was. Got there, and I thought I was going to, encourage this guy and try to, pull his head up out of the water to keep him from drowning, And he told me, he said, I'm doing fine. Don't worry about me. He said, my life changed a year ago when I decided to stop feeling sorry for myself. That's what changed. He said, I just have to think about Christ allowing himself to be humiliated. He humbled himself. He's God. I mean, we can't even fathom how far he stepped down. Can't even grasp. And he humiliated himself. He did the work. And so I think that's a great model. And I was so encouraged by my friend. He said, when I start getting down or getting these lies fed to me in my mind, you don't deserve this, you don't deserve this. And I think, I'm so glad I don't really get what I deserve, I can tell you, man, I'm so thankful I don't get what I deserve. And in studying for Easter, I went and read the various gospel accounts of the Easter story. Y'all know, after he was praying in the garden, he's like, let this cup pass from me. I mean, he was dealing with the internal man. Jesus had to deal with that too. He's sweating drops of blood. I've never done that. I've never heard of anybody else doing that. But the gravity of the moment was sinking in, I imagine. Especially as the clock is ticking. And he said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Now imagine it didn't happen instantly, but he said, but not my will be done, but yours. So, fast forward just maybe less than an hour or two. And they came to arrest him, and Peter goes for the sword and cuts the chief priest's attendant's ear off. Okay? So what does Jesus say to him in Luke, to Peter? He says, shall I not drink from the cup that the Father has given me to drink from? We're talking about the cross. We're talking about standing in line with the transgressors. We're talking about taking all of the wrath of God against every sin, every evil thought, everything on himself. Shall I not drink from the cup that the Father has given me to drink? I'm trying to encourage everybody that as we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, then he will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins, and he may just come and heal our land. What were we singing this morning? I was trying to get everybody bumping on the bass back there. No, not by might or power, but by your Spirit, O Lord. Right? Healer of hearts, binder of wounds. You know, do what you do. Come heal the brokenhearted. That's the problem. It's the brokenhearted. I know so many people are just brokenhearted. And I want to encourage everybody that we can humble ourselves, stop feeling sorry for ourselves. And there's no telling what he may do. I think about what Brother Bill's been talking about, Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughters on his way to Damascus to do a work of persecution against the church. And I think he was seeking God in this. I think you had the Pharisees that were worried about losing their position and all. But I think he was actively trying to do what he felt was right by God through the lens of Judaism, to persecute the church, to put it down. And God saw a guy who was earnestly seeking God with his whole heart. And he appeared to him on the road. And he knocked him down. So if God can take that man and make him into the greatest of the apostles and give him a revelation that Jesus refused to give. He said, you're not ready. I can't tell you everything yet. Jesus validated what Paul said. He said, there's more to come. And he gave it to Paul. He gave it to this guy. If he can take Saul of Tarsus and change him like that, not can, who are you, Lord? If he can do that, then, you know, any moment now, huh? I've told many of you friends that I've had this idea of God sort of having this thunderhead of revival, the Holy Spirit, like he's got it here, he's ready to release it. And he's looking at us. And he's saying, I'm ready when you are. I don't think we're waiting on him. I think he's waiting on us. If my people who are called by my name. You know something I realized this year, earlier this year? Well, I started asking myself. He said, if you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. In most of my life, my relationship with God has been predicated on him coming and finding me. He's been seeking me out. His goodness has been running me down. Have I ever really sought him with my whole heart? And I said, yeah, probably not. My energies are wasted on the vain things that charm me most. A guy that I has become a voice, Mark Sayers, a real voice of God for me, says, who's more important today, the man on the phone or the man on the throne? Telling you, got me. I'm glad that God still pursues me. I'm glad that he's faithful when I'm not faithful. He's so kind. He deals with me according to his tender mercies still, you know. And I'm glad my kids are afraid of me. But they know I love them. Something we should all consider is that there's going to be a day where King Jesus is separating sheep and goats, and the goats are going to be like, wait, what? Did we not do A, B, and C in your name? And what does he say? Who are you? Do I know you? Let me tell you, that's scary. We should all think about that. This is eternal life, that you might know him. What did Paul say? All this stuff, I can give you this record of me as a Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day, you know, a student of Gamaliel. In other words, like Harvard PhD in the things of God, according to the old covenant. I can also show you all the scar tissue all over my body from where I've been beaten for the sake of Jesus' name. Now, I've never shed a drop of blood for Jesus Christ. Okay? He says, take it all, put it in the same pile just so that I can know him. Just so that I can know him. I want God, by his tender mercies, to put in our heart the desire to know him, because that is eternal life, that you might know him, okay? I used to pray a lot, Lord, don't let me goat. Don't let me goat. And he's the good shepherd, right? I think another good illustration I've just been thinking about this week is something I read a long time ago from Francis Chan. He said, imagine you're like watching this movie. And I'm just going to use Braveheart as an example because I got off TV for a long time. I took TV off for Lent because I watched too much TV. I don't like TV. Watch too much TV. Okay. I gave up TV, and now, really, I don't care about TV. After 40 days, I don't care about it. But I did want to show my kids Rocky. So we watched Rocky this week. We're going to watch Chariots of Fire. And I wanted to rewatch Braveheart. That's the best movie ever made, in case you haven't seen it somehow. But let's say you're watching Braveheart. This is the story of William Wallace. They are being oppressed by an evil English king. And this is a dark time. People say we live in dark times now. These are dark times. But let's say you got a part as an extra in Braveheart. Like, you might be one of the, even a Scot. You could have been one of the Scots, one of the good guys, all right? And they pan out and they got these army lines, you know, whatever. You could be in this one scene for just one moment. And there, look, I just got my leg cut off. And you're in this movie for a second and your leg gets cut off or whatever. Isn't that great, this movie about me? You know, the movie's not about you. This whole movie ain't about me, right? It's about the King. We might have a role. My role might just be to pray and fast. What if that's all God wants from me? What if He's going to keep holding this thing back and we keep preparing? What if I prepare my children and they are the ones that get the next great move of God? Well, it'll be worth it, right? But it's not about me. It's about Him. And all of history is about Him. All of the old. It's just, I mean, come on. Take the blood of the Lamb and put it over the door. My angel, the destroyer, will pass over you. Does this sound like it's pointing towards something? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. All right? And He still sits on the throne. And He still intercedes for you. And He's got the Father's ear, because He humbled Himself. And so God exalted Him far above every name that can be given. Okay? And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not about me. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, when I survey the wondrous cross, I want to pour contempt on all my pride. When I said I was a humble person earlier, that was a goof. I'm a prideful, selfish goof. But God's helping me. God's helping me. The scales are falling from my eyes, all right? It's not about me. All the vain things that charm me most, will I sacrifice them to His blood? These are good questions to ask yourself. Will I drink from the cup that the Father has given me? Your cup is different from mine. Will you deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Him? Is that what Jesus promises? You're just going to be happy. I just want you to be happy, boy. No. We're going to pick up our cross. What does the cross imply? Where does it point? Death. When we die to ourselves, and we find our lives in Him, this is eternal life, that we might know Him. Are you encouraged? Paul said, I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. I'm telling you, I'm a prideful man. And God is, by His tender mercies, He's teaching me stuff, all right? We had this period of prayer and fasting. It's been going on for about 9 months, maybe more, maybe a year. And I kind of saw Easter as sort of like the culmination time. And I'm telling you, I think it's a new beginning. There are great things up ahead. The best is still yet to come. Do y'all believe it? The best is yet to come. When God the Father said, "Sit down, son, and rule at my right hand until your enemies are made your footstool," then He's going to sit there until. That means that He's not coming back until He hands it over to the Father finished. That means that He still intends, by the grace of His Holy Spirit, to come down and use the church, that's us, to use us to where every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That's my idea. So does it look like we're close to that? Not to me. Well, did it look like Saul was close to that? No. Any moment. I'm telling you, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And there's a difference. We can pray. You seek God, you don't find till you don't stop till you find him. We've got to be honest with ourselves. Are we seeking God? Or is he the only one who's doing the seeking? And I'm so thankful that he's faithful to keep knocking on my door. And I get distracted, and he will keep knocking on my door. He's interested in this. I got to tell my new parenting technique now. All right? Y'all parents, y'all experts. I'm not, but I've started parenting a new way. When I'm sitting down with my kids and they've done something like, oh, I'm just, Miller's not in here. Miller does something nasty to his sister. And I say, we can do the punishment and all that. I mean, that's part of it. But I'll put my hand on him and I'll say, who are you, son? What is in here? Are you going to be a brother that's mean to your sister? Is that what you want to be? Do you want to stay here and be the kind of kid that's mean to your sister? Or do you want to build up and protect and love your sister? I'm talking about myself too here. You understand? Son, who are you? And it's great. I was telling somebody that this weekend, Sarah Beth over here, and she goes, oh, I hate it when he does that. When he talks about the heart, I wish he'd just spank me and let's get on with the day. And I thought about that a lot. I thought, she hates it when I do that. This is my new technique. This is my, you know, this is my trump card. And I thought, well, that's me. That's me. I'd rather take my lumps than have to look at my wicked heart. Aren't you glad that God can take this heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh? Aren't you glad that he allowed himself to be destroyed so that we might live? Aren't you glad that God didn't leave him in the ground, but he came back and he's given us a new covenant, the resurrection in his blood? I'm just thankful. I'm not trying to get you whipped up. I'm just thankful. I want to be able to sing and mean it. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. I want to be able to preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words. I want my life to reflect the life laid down. Hello, this is our reasonable act of worship. It's not about me. Okay? He is well acquainted with grief. Matter of fact, he's carried my sorrows. He has carried my sorrows. Let me tell you, his cross was heavy. Didn't he say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light? Huh? I mean, do we believe that? I've tried to figure out, he says, pick up your cross and follow me. That seems pretty hard. It's not about me. If I can get the focus off myself and my pursuit of pleasure and happiness, and I can be content with the peace of Jesus Christ, if I can align my will with his, he's already planned all my days. If I can attach myself to his plan for my life, is it time? Are we at the Oscars? He's planned all my days already. If I can attach myself to his plan, then I can have peace. If I can humble myself, peace. What does he say? This is the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what I want. I want eternal life. That's to know him. Y'all help me. Y'all pray for me. I want us to get there. I want to see him turn this thing loose. What has Brother Bill been saying? He poured himself out. Jesus just poured himself out. He poured out the Holy Spirit. And he does that for me. He does that for me. I want to see him do it for Starkville. I want to see him do it for the Western Church. What if the Western Church actually was the body of Christ and came together in unity, where God commands a blessing predicated on humility of heart? I'm telling you, you start seeking God. He wants to be found, but he wants to be sought. I think it's a good thing that we've been married almost 17 years. There have probably been some seasons where I neglected romance. Shame on me. I gotta still seek her, okay? Too preoccupied with myself, all right? I didn't mean for this to turn into confession hour, but he wants to be found, and he's seeking me, but he wants me to seek him. If we can humble ourselves, pray and seek his face. This is just kind of the word that's been bouncing around between my ears, you know, last few weeks. That and, shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? That's a question we need to be honest with ourselves. If you're not able to drink that cup today, then we need to humble ourselves and pray and earnestly seek God. He's our salvation. He's our hope. He's all we got. All right? We got each other, but that's still by his grace. The fact that I'm here today, it's really the effect of his grace and prayers from people that love me when I was unlovable. Will y'all stand with me? And I just want to pray with you guys. Father, I'm so thankful that you choose to relate to us as Father, as Dad. I'm so thankful that I didn't choose you, you chose me, and that your goodness is still running after me. And when I've been a knucklehead, and I've been a rebel, you didn't take your light away from me. I pray that your light would shine ever brighter in this place. That your light would shine in the darkness. That the deceptions of our hearts would flee in the light of your truth. And that we would find reality not in that this life being about us, but in it being about you. God, give us the courage. To deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow you. I'm glad people admire you, but I think you want people to follow you. Change our hearts. Change our hearts. May we be faithful body for you. May we be in unison, in unity, in the Holy Spirit. May we forsake the vain things that charm us most. That which can only really satisfy, the peace of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit through righteousness, undergirded by great joy, would reign in our hearts by your grace. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.